Congress has done a bit of an about-face on bid protests. Legislation the Senate passed earlier this year could have made it a lot harder for companies to file protests involving task orders under large multiple award contracts. But last week's final compromise on the annual defense authorization bill removed those restrictions and also reinstated an independent arbiter's authority to hear protests involving civilian agencies. Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu writes about the issue in this week's edition of Inside the DoD Reporter's Notebook. Jared, this is a big contested deal, this task order protest, and it's been going on for some time.
Yeah, it's been a particularly potent issue with regard to civilian agencies, because remember, at the end of September, the Government Accountability Office's authority to hear any protests from task orders actually expired. So they have had no authority since then, and they actually reaffirmed that in a couple of separate decisions over just the past week, when companies went to GAO trying to file bid protests to task orders that were issued for DoD work, but GAO turned them away because the underlying contract vehicles were GSA contract vehicles. So even though GAO still had authority to hear DoD task orders, they said, we can't hear these particular ones because the underlying contract vehicle is GSA Alliant in one case, or another GSA contract vehicle. But the Senate, as we said in the lead in there, has done a major about face. They had, in their version of the defense authorization bill earlier this year, not only did they not do anything about that civilian agency task order bid protest issue, they actually would have cracked down even further on DoD. They would have basically eliminated all task order protests from the Defense Department if the Defense Secretary had just certified that he had appointed an ombudsman to handle protests, and that would have eliminated GAO's authority altogether. In the final compromise that we saw last week between the House and the Senate, the House basically won out because they had been advocating for the idea that we need some parity between the way protests out of civilian agencies are treated and protests out of the Defense Department is treated. So they actually made the authority for civilian agency task orders permanent, which was a big surprise. So they can protest any task order. Companies can protest any task order worth more than $10 million if it came out of a civilian agency. They raised the threshold to $25 million for defense contracts, but that for defense task orders, rather. But that authority is still there, and it is permanent. So relatively good news if you're a fan or an advocate of the bid protest process, and if you think that adds some due process to the system.
I'm thinking that contractors love it, GAO is indifferent, and DoD probably hates it.
I think that's probably right. I think if you asked any agency contracting officer or senior acquisition official, they would prefer for their own purposes that bid protests not be allowed and under any circumstances, not just task orders, but for contracts as well. I think you're right. I think GAO probably is indifferent. Some of their senior officials in the procurement law division, I will say, do not think there is much of a problem with bid protests, and they have the data that they can tell you about that says, you know, all these ideas that bid protests are on the upswing and that there's a dramatic increase in them in recent years is just not true. That's exactly right. So it'll be interesting to see if the numbers change at all now that this authority is permanent, but it's not new authority. It's been around for several years in the case of civilian agencies and basically forever in the case of the Defense Department.
And what about that big data call on this?
Yeah, so, you know, this was a compromise. So the Senate backed down from their position, which was basically anti-bid protest. But in the meantime, they want to gather a lot of data from DoD, suggesting that they expect to do some more legislation in future years to crack down on bid protests in other ways, even though they have made the task order authority permanent. So they've asked for an extremely detailed report on bid protests within the Defense Department. It's supposed to be compiled by an independent research entity that DoD is going to have to contract with. So they want answers on things like the extent to which program managers are building their acquisitions just to avoid bid protests rather than just to come out with a quality outcome. They want to know whether the bid protest system affects DoD's decision to use lowest price, technically acceptable criteria in their contract awards. They want an analysis of all the protests filed by incumbent contractors in previous years. And they want to know, some of this is kind of fuzzy, but they want some kind of analysis on both the quantity and the quality of the information that contractors are getting both before and after awards, and whether that affects the decision to file a protest. So suggesting that there may be ways to tamp down on protests from the Senate's perspective once they get some of this information.
Well, maybe they should just simply make up the numbers and make them so that Congress will say, yeah, you're right, we're gonna get back from this.
It'd be a cheap report, too.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's Jared Serbo, and also in the Notebook and also in the NDAA, you're writing about a new verse on an old song, which is trying to get Defense Department to buy more commercially.
Yeah, this was a big year, once again, for acquisition. Some would call it reform within the Defense Department. More than 100 provisions in Title VIII, which is where these issues end up. But several of them are really geared toward pushing DOD toward more commercial buying. And that, of course, comes out of the idea that we've heard a lot from leadership in the House and the Senate Armed Services Committees that really a lot of the relevant innovation is happening in the commercial sector, and DOD just can't access it. That there's this notion, especially, I think, among some of the senior staff in the Senate Armed Services Committee, that the authority that DOD has to buy commercial under FAR Part 12 has always been there, but you've just seen so many additional layers of regulation piled onto it onto FAR Part 12 by the Defense Department that it's really not any faster or speedier or more agile than the old FAR Part 15 process to buy major weapon systems. So, for example, one of these provisions would require DOD to get rid of basically all military specific specifications and standards and replace them with commercial standards, if there are commercial standards out there developed by standards bodies, unless it's just absolutely impossible to do so, unless they can certify that you just can't get where you need to go with commercial standards. There's also a directive for a new pilot that would let it's really an expansion of what the Defense Innovation Unit Experimental has been doing with what it calls the commercial solutions opening, which they've just used for small research and development contracts so far. But essentially, the way it works is they put out a broad problem statement, and then companies come in with white paper saying, hey, here's my technological solution to your problem. DOD would be able to use this authority for procurements of up to $100 million, which is pretty significant. DIUX has spent nothing close to that so far in its first year. And then any acquisitions they make through that process would be considered commercial for every other purpose of procurement law. So you get all those streamlined approaches, and mm-hmm. they'd be declared to have happened in open competition, even though they didn't go through the traditional, Fed BizOps bid and proposal process.
Well, I guess you have to give the committees, or the Armed Services Committees, credit for keeping their ear very close to the ground on all things DOD.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think they are listening to industry. They're listening to industry concerns. And yes, especially at the staff level, I think folks are extremely well-versed in what some of the concerns and issues are out there, even if they're not issues that are being particularly raised by the acquisition leadership within DOD.
Federal News Radio's Jared Serbo. And I guess, Jared, Congress is leaving town in another few days. And then after that, nothing bad can happen for 2-3 weeks.
Well, we will see about that. There is still a possible looming veto threat over the entire NDAA. I don't think any of the provisions that we've been talking about will go away. They'll come back in some form in a resurrected bill, but we're waiting to see whether the president vetoes the bill over other issues.
Meantime, read his notebook online now at federalnewsradio.com.